हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 5, How Prajumna Misreceived Instructions from Ramananda Rai, page 113. Conclusion. The activities of the gopis and Lord Krishna, if seriously understood, will certainly free one from material attachment, 48 purport. When one hears or describes with great faith the pastimes of Lord Krishna, such as his rasa dance with the gopis, the disease of lusty desires in his heart and the agitation caused by the three modes of material nature are immediately nullified and he becomes sober and silent. Tasting transcendental, effulgent, sweetly ecstatic love of Krishna, such a person can enjoy life 24 hours a day in the transcendental bliss of the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Quote, a transcendentally sober person who, with faith and love, continually hears from a realized soul about the activities of Lord Krishna in his rasa dance with the gopis, or one who describes such activities, can attain full transcendental devotional service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, lusty material desires, which are the heart disease of all materialistic persons, are for him quickly and completely vanquished. The transcendentally situated person, following the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, hears and speaks about the Rasalila dance of Krishna and is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna while serving the Lord day and night within his mind. What shall I say about the result? It is so spiritually exalted that it cannot be expressed in words. Such a person is the eternally liberated associate of the Lord, and his body is completely spiritualized. Although he is visible to material eyes, he is spiritually situated, and all his activities are spiritual. By the will of Krishna, such a devotee is understood to possess a spiritual body. Text 45-50. Any person seriously inclined to hear about the pastimes of Krishna's rasa dance, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, with great faith and a transcendental, spiritually inspired mind, is immediately free from the natural lusty desires found within the heart of a materialistic man. When a pure Vaishnava speaks on Srimad Bhagavatam and other pure Vaishnavas hear Srimad Bhagavatam from such a realized soul, both of them live in the transcendental world, where the contamination of material nature cannot touch them. Freed from the contamination of the modes of nature, the speaker and hearer are fixed in a transcendental mentality, knowing that their position on the transcendental platform is to serve the Supreme Lord. 45-46 purport. All the activities of Lord Krishna are transcendental, and the gopis are also transcendentally situated. Therefore, the activities of the gopis and Lord Krishna, if seriously understood, will certainly free one from material attachment. Then there is no possibility that lusty material desires will awaken. 48 purport. So this is actually the direction we're trying to go. We're trying to get to here, give up the material desire, give up the material identities, material bodies. We take them, we engage them in a little service. But we're trying to move beyond them and all that. So technically speaking, it's a waste of time for someone to try to rationalize their own mundane upadis and desires. You know, we try to avoid such waste of time. Because Prabhupada mentions that, you know, for the advanced level, if you're still working on upadis, then that's a disqualification. It's not a consideration. Neophytes may consider these things, but advanced personalities should avoid it.
Renunciation and detachment are the result of engaging one's senses in devotional service. And therefore, the idea is to engage what is detrimental, what is not to our advantage, to use it in Krishna's service, so it is to our advantage.
That's if it's something that that naturally can be, or that you could use. The point is those things that are recommended, those things that are naturally, because within a conditioning you'll have things that are of use and things that are not. So you use what's useful.
The point I want to make is there is room for a devotee to be artificial in renunciation, thinking I can use everything in Krishna's service, but actually I'm still attached to this.
Yes, yes. No, that's there. Yes, yes, yes.
How do you know what are the signals?
Oh, well, the main point is if you're working on things for yourself, then it makes it easier to see it in others. Because if you can see the weakness in yourself, then you can help others get through it. And so the purpose is to help others get through, not to. It's not for being critical like that. Because the critical aspect doesn't actually have any real benefit other than to possibly help those who could do things properly not get distracted by it.
That's constructive criticism.
Yes. But the difficulty comes down is that just finding fault itself, just like you see in the 11th canto, there's a section where Krishna's pointing out the weakness on the material consciousness of these different schools of thought. And after pointing out some, you know, major points, then he says, but there's no real, you know, how you say, this kind of mentality is not good to maintain. Because good and bad is something of here. The transcendental world, everything's connected to Krishna, everything's good, because it's all Krishna. So we can see great personalities may do all kinds of far-out stuff. But that's the difference between those who are acharyas and those who are just, you know, greatly respected devotees. Does that make sense? You know, so there's always going to be the aspect where someone is engaging, and so if they can, you know, aspects of their nature, great. But it should always be understood that it's not ideal. And so you're engaging it, and as it gets pure, if it's something that being purified then would naturally remain as useful, then you continue with it. Once you get purified of that, you come to a point where it's not actually necessary. It was only necessary because of attachment, but otherwise it's not necessary. It would be dropped. Yeah, so that's why rationalization is not actually that important. Right? Other than showing how what you're doing, you're able to connect it to the Lord, and if it's getting the effect of purification, then you can say, okay, then it works. You know, like someone is doing whatever they're doing and the facilities they have, they're connecting it to the Lord. Then and you see that there's advancement, there's that, you know, people are satisfied, then good. But if you see that it's not, and other qualities are coming up that aren't ideal and all that, then you can understand this, well, maybe it's not the best understanding. Because it's important, the understanding, because that will make the connection. So it may be that the thing can be connected, but are you connecting it in such a way that's an advantage, as opposed to just cultivating that attachment, but not necessarily looking seriously at the weaknesses that are there.
Right.
Like that. You know. So it's just a matter of, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the aspect of steps. You're going up steps. So to go up a step, you pick up a foot and put it on the next step. So you're rooted here, but you've put there, so you start practicing there. And you're dealing here. But as the weight shifts to the front, and now you can function on this level. You don't require the bottoms, the lowest. Then you have to pick up your foot and come to here. And if you don't pick up your foot, now that's a fault. Then you won't progress. But if you pick up the foot and foot here, now that whole process of you connecting this then becomes a value, because if it's not moving forward, then from here, then again, the next step. So that's the whole thing, is that there'll be, when there's association, when there's Shraddha, then there'll start to be the aspects of association and those things like that. And that, but if it's just, yes, I have faith and all that, and I don't need to associate with devotees, Krishna is everywhere, now you can see there's a fault. Because they're avoiding moving forward. It's not that I'd like to, but, the work or the family and this and that, I can only go like once a week or every couple of weeks to visit the devotees. We live in this place and my work's there and I can't get out. And that's another thing. But when you're saying, no, it's all right, it's better, so I got it, if it's not necessary, then there's an aversion to what is ideal. In other words, you see the acharyas and their songs and prayers always talking about what is proper and how they're unqualified to be there. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, then they're able to attain that. They never say, oh, it's all right. Does that make sense? It's just like you say, let's see. Like in Gita, Arjuna is talking all those nice things in the first chapter. They're all proper religious things like that, but they're not being seen in the context of the spiritual religion. They're taking just the religion of, the Shastrika on the social level of karma. He's not addressing jnana, he's not addressing bhakti, the Lord, that service, the soul. And so, even though that they're, so someone may start there, and so then they're in the family, they're connecting all that and that, but at some point it has to be that, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm just the dog taking care of your house. It's your house, not my house. And I'm just there because, like it's pointed out, dogs are loyal, they're protective, and so I will take care of this house for you because it's yours, how you like. And so, as you see in the songs, he goes through. First, he points out the weaknesses, and he understands his weakness. Now Bhaktivinoda, now he's, he's old and this and that and frail and can't do anything. And but now, it's I've waited too long. Now please accept me as your servant and stuff. Because he talked about how he just wasted his life when he's young and playing, and how you say getting himself educated, being proud of that education, and then getting his job and being proud of his facilities and family, like this, So the point is it's understood it's wrong. What we're talking here in rationalization is saying, no, it's all right. You don't have to, don't be fanatic. It's like, no, you don't have to overemphasize it. It just be understood. It's not connected with the soul. So one has to know the position. But at the same time, since it's all Krishna's, then you can take it and connect it to Krishna. So it is Krishna's house, Krishna's family, Krishna's money, Krishna's, whatever it is, social positions. And like you see Sanatana Goswami's respecting the Nawab, even though he's a Muslim. But because the king represents the Lord in the way of ruling, punishment, protection, all these kind of things like that. So he's respecting, so he's standing up, all the Brahmins are standing up, because he represents the Lord in that capacity. So in the same way, as this disrespect that people have for heads of state is improper, because they're representing. They may not do a good job of it, that's another thing, but the point is, unless he took the position on his own, then you elected him. So if he's an idiot, you elected him, so who's the idiot? Like if I say, oh yeah, we should do this, and then it goes wrong, are you squeaky clean? Did everybody just go, wow, that didn't work, but your idea to do that didn't work, then that doesn't matter. So if that's wrong, so then should you be voting again? Are you one that's qualified to vote? Or, should you now learn from that and educate yourself and then find somebody better? But so the thing is, people take it that it's all right that I'm where I am. So you have to move forward.
Can you say that a devotee should never feel that I am comfortable on that platform and can it reach bhava or prema?
Being comfortable means you're comfortable that you're able to, in that position, engage yourself as best you can at that point in Krishna's service. That they can be comfortable about. But otherwise, as far as the material world goes, it's like a lotus leaf. How comfortable is a drop of water on a lotus leaf? You ever seen them? Yeah? I mean, it's just far out how the water is just like completely a little ball. It doesn't, you know, normally it sits like a half circle. This is a complete little ball that you just touch it, it rolls around, and it leaves no mark, nothing. So
when I use the word comfortable, it means complacency.
Complacent, yeah. That complacent, no. Complacent is, point is complacency means, as Prabhupada pointed out, if you're attached to these things, then you can come back.
Right.
The point is you go to Krishna because you're interested in Krishna. You know? But that's why, and the point is that at the time of death, you remember Krishna, you go. It doesn't matter your level of advancement as long as you're focused on that. So if that's what you're trying to do, even if you don't get very far, you still have your attachments. But Krishna is your focus, so therefore all these things aren't really going to give you shelter. You take shelter of Krishna, you go back to Godhead. You know, Prabhupada, so many times there's letters where devotees ask Prabhupada, did this devotee go back to Godhead? And he always explains like that. If he remembers Krishna and that, they'll go back to Godhead, and this and that, then he'll here or there, or like this kind of thing. So it's a complacency, one should always... That complacency may be there, but it's unknown. But if they're comfortable with the complacency, then that's going to be a weakness that will be a problem. That's the importance of associating with those more advanced, because then you see them doing things or others doing things, and then you have a tendency to become more serious. You know, to whatever you can. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just, the point is that you're trying to progress. You know, even if it's, you know, get it together, you know, instead of chanting one round a day, you know, maybe I'll chant two or four, you know, like this. It's just, but just that one round, that's enough. I don't have to even be, you know, get too much into it. It'll go slow. And if you want to finish things up this life, you try it the best you can. That's the whole thing, is that it's about the best you can, but at the same time as you have to know. That's the point. Baladev Vidyabhushan is making the point. He's focusing on, what is it that... Yeah, I think it's Anyabhilashita Sunyam. On that Sita, it's Anyabhilashita. It's on the Ita. He's pointing, it means, and, or that in pursuance of. So he's making this point, it's whatever your position is, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. You take your position and connect it to Krishna, and it works nice. You know, Krishna's saying that, it's there very much. So he'll focus on that one. And at the same time, you'll see in Baladev Vidyabhushan, we'll make the point is, he'll make the point is, yes, but you have to remember that when you get to prema, that's the goal. Anything less than prema is not prema. You know, it's like, it's not prema. Right? So that's the whole thing, is you have to know is that that's there. So then he points out that that's the standard. And so then as you go down from that, that'll be, he'll very nicely show technically how to go up through it. But Baladev is presenting more from here, and you're looking there to prema. And he's showing from prema that, you know, it's lower. You know, it's attainable. So that's the whole thing, is that we always know that that's the goal, and then we try to take our position. So if we put, as we discussed this morning, put too much emphasis on ourself, the Vyasti, and not enough on the Samasti, or Krishna's position and standard, you know, that universal aspect. So that's going to slow you down. When you know that this is the standard, but I'm not qualified, that humility will bring you forward. But the difficulty, what we were discussing before, is where's the humility in that? You know, the things of, you know, Krishna's dress or Krishna's food or Krishna's that. You know, they're trying to make it that the the European Malecha standard is the gold standard by which, you know, Mother Jashoda dresses Krishna and feeds him, you know. So that kind of thing is, that's from pride, that's from attachment. So how will that be nourishing to bhakti? So the problem is that it's the attitude that's going to be the problem. What you wear, who gives a damn? It's kind of like they care so much that they have to make a whole movement out of it. But that means they just care about, and then the worst part is they make a whole thing out of it and they look like slobs. You know? Well, if you were just trying to be involved in Krishna and you're not really worried about the material world and you look like a slob, that's you know, people understand that. But you're making this whole thing about, you know, being this and that and then in your identity and our culture and all that, and then you look like a slob. It's kind of like, then this, you know, so what's the point? So the thing is there's this pride, there's this other thing. That's the problem in it. It's kind of like, since when did Prabhupada worry about what someone was wearing? You know what I'm saying? These gentlemen come to the place and they sit down in their suits and this and that. He doesn't get on the case about it. You know? But you see, everyone who lived in the temple wore the bed sheets. And all the paintings, you know, everyone's wearing bed sheets. You go to all the four sampradayas, all in the spiritual world, they're all wearing bed sheets. They're wearing bed sheets. Everyone's wearing bed sheets. And then somebody has the audacity to say that it's not Vedic, it's something introduced by the Muslims. Since when do the point is this, Hindus do one thing, it's the Muslims that do the opposite. You know, we put our plate with the thing one, they do it the other way. You know, there's a saying that the only thing that they don't do opposite is wear their shoes on their head. They don't wear, you know, they wear them on their feet like the Hindus do, but everything else they do is different. You know, it's an over-exaggeration because of, you know, community tension. But the point is it's observed something that they do it opposite just because the Hindus do it that way. Because you have to remember, all those Muslims in India, every last one of them is local. Mm-hmm. They're not imported. It's not that, you know, they brought them in from somewhere else. They're all locals. They're all Sunnis. You know, if they're Shiites, okay, then you can say these guys are original, but then, you know, there's a problem there. One Shiite was telling me, I said, what's the difference? He said, the Shiites, like in India, you have the Brahmins. The Shiites are the Brahmins. With that, we'll leave it at that. And they don't like each other. You know? That's why Iran doesn't like anybody else. Anybody who's Sunni, they don't really get along with. You know, so it's a problem. You know, yeah, so the thing is they're all locals. You know, it's like Pakistan used to harass Bangladesh and not consider them, they were considered second-class citizens. That's why they had the war and separated. Because, you know, they're from this side of India. So like Bengalis, they wore dhotis. I mean, we had Muslim guys that wore full-on dhotis, not lungis. They wore dhotis. The women wear the saris, the same, you know, things, the red dot, everything. I mean, if you look at them, you would just think, and that's because they're Bengalis. And they happen to, by religion, be Muslim. So over there, they dress like the Pathans because that's their local dress. And they say, that's Muslim. No, that's what they wear there. You know? If you go back, it's, I don't know, if you go farther over there, that's not what they wear. You know, do the Saudis look like the Afghanis or the Pakistanis? No. They wear their local dress. You know, you go farther across into North Africa, again, slightly different. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that they were, you know, harassed like this because of these differences, and so then they went to war and separated. You know? So all this kind of thing put on this is like, we don't care, but we do have our tradition and standards. And if you're not up to that, you wear whatever you like. You know, who cares? That's the thing. They make it about, you have to care. Says, we don't care. But we do care if you say that what you're doing is a standard. No, it's just that's what you like to wear, wear it. But don't say it's a standard. Otherwise, you know, who's going to say, who's going to agree? Will Ralph Lauren agree? You know?
Since when we care?
Huh? Because they're trying to say they're dress casual, which is like the farthest from the truth.
I had an interesting episode once. I went in the temple about months ago, and it was really hot and humid,
mm-hmm.
and big crowd, I think Sunday.
Mm.
So I came Lungi and Chava.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going around the deities,
mm-hmm.
and somebody just stuck a mic into my hand and told me, okay, now you chant, now you lead the kirtan, which I never do. This is the first time in the 12 years, but
okay.
Whatever it is. So I was chanting, and one brahmachari came to me right in the middle of the kirtan, like I'm chanting, the crowd is like really going for it.
Okay.
He not only gave me the mic, but he gave me that melody, so I had to continue his melody.
Okay,
he was already, he started already
okay.
an American thing.
Okay.
So I'm chanting, everybody's like in bliss, and then one brahmachari comes to me and says, change your dress. And I was like shocked. Like, should I like really change it right now in front of the Panchatattva? I mean, what do you mean, change your dress? And he followed me, and I had to give the mic to somebody. Change your dress.
Yeah.
I mean, he was Paka, I mean, I have to admit.
Yeah, so it means if they're Paka, they always do is like this and that. They can make a comment, but at the same time, as in the middle of the kirtan, why would you say then? You would wait until after when you finish and just say, hey, when you come to the temple, you know, this and that. But yeah, no, there's always the balance is that the tradition is there because it works. Is there somebody there, or it's just the wind? Yeah, it's always there. Yeah, no, I always had that before. Sometimes you had to lock this one and then we unlock that one because this one would blow. So this balance that you have the tradition, you have the different things that are recommended, and it's being done because that's what they do in the spiritual world. The main thing is to be engaged in the proper activity. So then in that, then you have something that's simple, no one has to worry about it, and stuff like that. You know, it's probably said, you know, it's always in fashion. You know, it's like that. You can say, you know, the shaved head, the sikha, and all that, and you see... you know, there's always a time, you know, what do you mean it's in fashion? But as time goes, then you see so many people, they all have the shaved heads, and that's it's very much, you know, so it's about the attitude you have to see. It's why it's being done, you know. So then, yeah, what to do? It's always a delicate balance. Because then the neophytes, it goes too far one way or too far the other. It can't be balanced.
Trying to make soda.
Oh yeah. Maybe.
On Thursday is still
better. Helps digestion, you know. Yeah, so it's these kind of things, they become issues, but the point is it has to always be taken back as where is the consideration, how it's connecting to Krishna, how it's serving Krishna, and that's kind of aspect. So that has to be there. And if that can be seen, then, you know, you have something, you're working with something that can work. But, you know, yeah. Chapter 6, The Meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami. Pratigya. Renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Going into, you opened with renunciation, so here's the next chapter. Adhyaya Prakashika. A summary of this chapter is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya as follows. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into transcendental fits of ecstatic love, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodara Goswami attended to him and satisfied him as he desired. Raghavan Das Goswami had been attempting to come to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a long time, and finally he left his home and met the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Shantipur on his way to Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami had offered to dedicate his life at the Lord's lotus feet. In the meantime, however, a Muslim official became envious of Hiranyadas, Raghunath Das Goswami's uncle, and induced some big official court minister to have him arrested. Thus, Hiranyadas left his home, but by the intelligence of Raghunath Das, the misunderstanding was mitigated. Then Raghunath Das went to Panihati, and following the order of Nityananda Prabhu, he observed a festival, Chittadhati Mahotsava, by distributing chipped rice mixed with yogurt. The day after the festival, Nityananda Prabhu gave Raghunath Das the blessing that he would very soon attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After this incident, Raghunath Das, with the help of his priest, whose name was Yadunanda Acharya, got out of his house by trickery and thus ran away. Not touching the general path, Raghunath Das secretly went to Jagannath Puri. After 12 days, he arrived in Jagannath Puri at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted Raghunath Das Goswami to Srup Damodar Goswami. Therefore, another name for Raghunath Das Goswami is Sruparda Raghu, or the Raghunath of Srup Damodar. For 5 days, Raghunath Das Goswami took prasad at the temple, but later he would stand at the Simhad Dwara gate and eat only whatever he could gather by alms. Later, he lived by taking alms from various chhatras, or food distributing centers. When Raghunath's father received news of this, he sent some men and money, but Raghunath Das refused to accept the money. Understanding that Raghunath Das was living by begging from the chhatras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented him with his own gunjamala and a stone from Govardhan Hill. Thereafter, Raghunath Das used to eat rejected food that he had collected and washed. This renounced life greatly pleased both Srup Damodar Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took by force some of the same food, thus blessing Raghunath Das Goswami for his renunciation. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 12. Srila Ramananda Rai and Srup Damodar Goswami pacify the Lord. 13 to 35, the home life of Raghunath Das. 36 to 41, Raghunath Das attempt to leave home. 42 to 100, the Chittadhati Mahotsava. 101 to 125, a Raghava Pandit's feast. 126 to 154, Lord Nityananda gives Raghunath Das blessings to attain the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. 155 to 213, Raghunath Das successfully escapes to Jagannath Puri. 214 to 329, the exemplary renunciation of Raghunath Das. Verses 1 to 12, Srila Ramananda Rai and Srup Damodar Goswami pacify the Lord. 3:6-9. With the ropes of his causeless mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu employed a trick to deliver Raghunath Das Goswami from the blind well of contemptible family life. He made Raghunath Das Goswami one of his personal associates, placing him under the charge of Srup Damodar Goswami. I offer my obeisances unto him. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Sri Advaita Acharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus Lord Gaurachandra performed various pastimes with his associates at Jagannath Puri in varieties of transcendental pleasure. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt pangs of separation from Krishna, he did not manifest his feelings externally, for he feared the unhappiness of his devotees. The transformations undergone by the Lord when he manifested severe unhappiness due to separation from Krishna cannot be described. When the Lord acutely felt pangs of separation from Krishna, only Ramananda Rai's talks about Krishna and the sweet songs of Srup Damodar kept him alive. Because the Lord associated with various devotees during the day, his mind was somewhat diverted, but at night the pangs of separation from Krishna increased very rapidly. Two people, Ramananda Rai and Srup Damodar Goswami, stayed with the Lord to pacify him by reciting various verses about Krishna's pastimes, by singing appropriate songs for his satisfaction. Previously, when Lord Krishna was personally present, Subala, one of his cowherd boyfriends, gave him happiness when he felt separation from Radharani. Similarly, Ramananda Rai helped give happiness to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rudriti. The Gauranga Dashtipika 120-24 states that Ramananda Rai was formerly Arjuna. He is also considered to have been an incarnation of the Gopi Lalita, although in the opinion of others he was the incarnation of Vishakha Devi. He was a most confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Adi Lila 10:134 purport. Srirupa Damodar has been identified as Lalita Devi, the second expansion of Radharani. However, text 160 of Kavi Karnapurna's authoritative Gauranga Dashtipika describes Srirupa Damodar as the same Vishakha Devi who serves the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, it is to be understood that Sri Srirupa Damodar is a direct expansion of Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. Adi Lila 4:105 purport. Right, so one will say, oh, is it this or is that? The Prabhupada points out, so it's to be understood that he is a direct expansion of Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani.
And both Lalita and Vishakha are direct expansion of Radharani.
Yeah, the point is whether it's this or that, what does it matter?
So it doesn't matter.
No, the point is that he's a direct expansion and he helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani.
And then who is Sarvadhamana?
No, but I'm saying he's a direct expansion of Radharani and he helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani.
Right.
That's what's important. Yeah, the other thing, what does it matter? I mean, so you get there, then you'll figure it out. So in other words, it doesn't really matter. Because you have all these different aspects, because you say, oh, he's Arjuna, he's this and that. Because the point is when you have yogpi, what's in the yogpi? Who's in the yogpi? Where does it start? You know, you have Radha and Krishna. Then you have the astasakhi around them. Then around them you have the maidservants and that, and then it goes out from there. So that means as Krishna's energy expands, who's expanding? Radharani's expanding into these, and then they're expanding into... So if it happens to be from there that goes out to Arjuna, what's the problem? You know, it's kind of like, oh, he's this and it can't be that. What, and so, you know, if Radharani, Lakshmi, what about in between? You know, that she expands and they just keep going out. That's why then it's like, I think the Pancharatra explains seven mandalas going out. Like that.
The kind of stack always Prahlad.
Yeah, so that's the point. And that's also the point at seeing Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika. Then it gives very exact kind of things like that, and there's no warnings about it. But in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, it says if you don't understand it, don't read the book. Just put the book down and walk away. You know, it's not a matter of argument, this, that. This is what we're talking about here. So then, as we see, is that Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, all of anyone who ever was a parent of the Lord in any of the pastimes is within them. Because different aspects are there, in this pastime there's this, or in that pastime there's that. And so if that's not appreciative, don't worry about it. But you see, it's prominent, it's Nanda and Yashoda. But still, there's the features of Diti and Kardama, there's the oh, is it Prishti Garba and Sutapa?
Lord Chaitanya is walking out, when Nimai walks out of the house, Devan takes on the house, and his mother collapses and he's trying to pacify her, gives her the name of every person that she's been as a mother before.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're always together, what are you worried about? You were this, you were this, you were this, and now your mother's touching, hey.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the whole thing in here, is that in the pastime, how it's being pulled together, then that's the thing. And so one has to be careful, is that all these aspects are there. So the point is you know, if he identifies Lalita, but there may be aspects of Vishakha that he's doing, like singing songs, Vishakha does that. She's the one that deals with all the music and all the arrangements, as Lalita is doing. But here, is then he's doing both of those. And at the same time, it is mentioned about how, like, Subala, you know, one of the cowherd boys, you know, how they do these things to also, because they're confidential, and so then they do stuff like that. So all these different personalities are all expanding out, the different flavors and different aspects. So it's not really that important. The point is that the pastime is being, it's unfolding and the tastes are being tasted. You know, it's just like they get into this thing of Gaur-Gadadhar. Is it is Radha and Krishna. Mm-hmm. But the point is since Lord Chaitanya is taking the mood of Radharani, then Radharani takes a back seat in the whole thing. Like that, because you can't separate Radha and Krishna, therefore she's always there. But at the same time, as she's not other than always being wherever the Lord is, but the major pastimes are happening with everybody else. But you see anything that's going on, Gadadhar Pandit's there. You know, so then that's there. So any kind of interaction, then it would have to be, you know, it would have to have a different flavor. You know, it's just natural. If Krishna's taking her mood, then she would naturally, you know, act in a way that can support. You know, environment's formal, it's this and that. You know, so then that's kind of things. Yes.
To also explain in Lakshmi Tantra, sometimes we see some avatars coming where you don't see any pastime, that there is Lakshmi with Narayan.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Lord takes the fish incarnation, actually she is the boat. Mm-hmm. Like that she explains for every incarnation how she comes.
Oh, okay. She's the boat.
Gurma also, there is explanation, I forgot.
Could be. Doing service, scratching his back.
Even for Buddha also, she mentions all the list, all the places.
What is she with Buddha?
I can get back. Forgot.
She's the nothingness.
There is the name of Dharani.
Yeah.
Only me, this name made sense immediately. So.
Yashoda.
Yeah, so there's always going to be, she's always going to be there, but then it may take on different flavors, because the Lord's taking a particular flavor, so she takes what would be the natural match to that.
Like Guru Krama, then Vamana, she's the original Ganga, she's coming as the water.
Mm. Okay, yeah, because it was his foot, okay. Yeah, so then... Yeah, so that's the aspect, is what's important. So seeing of what is being done, who's doing what, and all that, and that's there. So some you see is that it's done one-on-one thing, but some you see is that they take many aspects of the personalities. And so then that works. Because you have, okay, Radharani, and she has 8 main people always with her, and their assistants. So right there, that's 16. The direct, then you have also Shama, you know, and a few others like that. So it's a huge group that works with girls. But with Lord Chaitanya, who's there? Just these two. You know, so like that. Yeah, because that's the way it works.
So from the description, it looks like Mahaprabhu is leading a life of a sadhaka during the day,
mm-hmm.
and intense emotions during the night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nobody basically sees it.
Yes, that's the point, so that the devotees aren't seeing. So then if someone wants to get into these things, then don't sleep at night, stay up all night and hear and chant and roll around on the ground in ecstasy. But the main point is don't sleep. It's not you do it one night. No, it's every night. Lord Chaitanya did this, I don't know how long?
18.
Because it was
12 years.
Yeah, because 6 years he went on traveling, yeah. So then 12 years. You do that for 12 years. I mean, it's like, you know, Lakshman for, you know, the 12 years or 14 years and a fourth. He never slept. So, you know, it means if you're into the bhav, go for it. But if you're doing it in the daytime and sleeping at night, then that's not how it's been. The example's not there. Yeah. So the whole point is it doesn't these things, how subtle they are, who's connected with what, and all the fine points, is that this goes along that the acharyas who talk about these things can also discuss on the level like of the sandharvas. That's the thing, is they can, they means I've seen verses where, I think we were using earlier when we had one section was just sandharva quotes. They weren't mixed, they weren't blended in. Originally it's just we had different sections so that we dealt with the chapter, and one of them was just all of the sandharva verses from anywhere in the sandharva that was on any of those verses of that chapter. And I remember one where he's talking some tattva aspect, you know, very technical tattva aspect in the first half of the sentence. The second half, he was talking about rasa. Jiva Goswami. It was, you know, it's pulled from the sandharva, so it may have been pulled from, you know, priti or bhakti or something like that. And so, but in one sentence, he was doing both, and he was showing here this tattva thing here, but then over here, it's this. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that they can work at that. It's not this thing as, oh, no tattva and just rasa. No, it's just, it's these things are inherent. They can understand these things. They know Krishna, so therefore they can discuss and all that.
Maharaj, are you saying that when you get to, I mean, of course, anybody, even a new devotee can read on Kalilash. If you actually thoroughly, to along with the sadhana process, study the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once you get to Antya Lila, you should not worry about technicalities, you should relish the pastimes.
Basically. I mean, you try to understand what's there, because yeah. It still is Lord Chaitanya is an acharya, so he's teaching. So there's something to learn and something to right. This and that.
I'm talking more about.
But it should be, if you're still arguing over technical points, then, you know, how are you doing on Gita? Are you arguing 13th chapter or 15th chapter of Gita or 17th chapter? Or you're only arguing rasa?
That's my point.
Yeah, because if you're arguing rasa, you don't argue that. That's just the way it is.
Right. Because if you scratch it, so is it Lalita, is it Vishaka?
Yeah, there's no need. That's why Prabhupada said, he said, you know, they say, some describe him as Lalita. He says, Sukhdharma has been identified as Lalita Devi, the second expansion. However, authoritative describes him as the same Vishaka who serves the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. Then he said, therefore, is to be understood that Sri Sukhdharma is a direct expansion of Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. So in other words, whether he's the second expansion or the third doesn't really matter. The point is he's an expansion and he's helping with the attitude of Radharani. Mm. You know, so that he can taste that. Because he's come to taste that, so therefore then they come to.
Mm.
So that's what becomes important. That's why for us, his issues aren't so important. It means we may get into them, but technically, it's not really this an issue. It's about how it's serving Krishna. Because for us to know is that this or that, how does that serve Krishna? No, but unless you know, how do we know what to do? What are you going to do? Okay, he's Lalita. Now what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, he's Vishaka. Now does that change? Now how does that change your whole bhajan? So the whole point is that he's assisting Lord Chaitanya, tasting the attitude of Radharani. So as Radharani is, her whole point is that compassion, you know, on the conditioned souls and all that. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is preaching and delivering the fallen souls because he's in the mood of Radharani. So the preaching mission and all that is because of the mood of Radharani. Therefore, the Sahajiyas are totally bogus because they ignore that and think, oh, we'll taste, you know, Radha Krishna's pastimes. But Krishna just says, you know, as Prabhupada mentions, end of Gita, just surrender unto me. You know, as you surrender, I reciprocate. You don't surrender, well, how it's to reciprocate? So that's why Advaitacharya, who is Vishnu himself, says, I can't do anything about them. He's already sitting in their heart. He's already trying to guide them. They're not taking it. So he's done what he can do. But so he knows only Lord Chaitanya because he's taking that mood of Radharani. So You can only get liberated by the blessings of Mukunda, of Vishnu. But at the same time, is only the devotee will go out and collect you off the street, even though you weren't planning on that. You know, does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that combination. That's why then Lord Chaitanya, I mean Advaita Acharya, then asked Lord Chaitanya to descend, because that is the preaching mission means Lord Chaitanya. When Krishna's in that mood, then he can catch all those ones that the other ages, then there is an idea, the Vedic and that and following, and so as they do, he sort of reciprocates. But like nowadays, they just see, you know, making money, so he can only reciprocate his money. You deal with him as money in a proper way, respectful way, using the laws of nature, he'll reciprocate his money. But if you don't, then you lose. You get money, like I heard about one guy, you know, every day before he put on his shoes, he put on, you know, whatever it was, those big notes in those days, it was 100 rupees or 1,000 rupees, he put one in each shoe and put them on. You know, he's the Lord of Lakshmi. He thought, I'm so, so rich. Now the family's just like nothing, you know. Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, and he gold-plated his ambassador. Gold leafed it.
Ambassador.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a car, you know. You know, why would you do this?
You
know, so.
You do it for the toilet seat.
That's what Russians do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a direct reference.
Gypsies.
Okay.
But rich gypsies.
Of course.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's like. Yeah.
Because those guys from the Dubai, they also all play bigger cars.
But it's a Lamborghini or something. It's not a. It's not
yeah,
a.
Like
it's not a ambassador.
Yeah, it was a huge car.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guy died.
And then.
Was buried with something.
He buried in his car. They just took out the seats and made that the coffin.
No,
buried
gold plate.
Your coffin, okay.
They bury them?
Yeah, yeah. No, Muslims always bury. It means all the Abrahamic, they all bury.
Okay, so
though I think amongst the Christians, somehow or another, cremation is all right. But oh, maybe it's only the Protestants. Okay, that makes more sense.
Muslims don't bury?
They bury. Definitely.
Who put the pigs on them?
They bury without coffin.
Yeah, yeah, they bury without coffin.
Yeah, something like
that. I think they may put cloth. They
cloth wrap. And then...
Yeah, and also you sometimes see, you know, they stack them up.
Not
immediately, but it's
not
like... Oh, not the rich guys, but it may be like a family is, you know...
Or in the ocean also.
Them
in the ocean.
Muslims.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Well,
you know, I remember when they captured Bin Laden.
Uh huh.
You know, the American, the connection with Pakistanis, and they said, how do you deal with a body like this? So they threw him in the ocean.
Okay.
So they threw him in the ocean.
Okay.
And then go find him and really say that that's him.
Yeah, then bring in Dr. Frankenstein. Revive him. Oh, boy. Yeah, so how did we get into this? Oh, but yeah, so that's the thing, is that they're not following the rules. They're not being respectful. So it's an offense. So therefore, then you know, the money won't work. So that's the thing, as you see, is the great-grandfather was ridiculously rich. But then somehow or another, the son, he got into this attitude, and then his son, you know, just had some crumbs left from before. You know, they were okay. But, you know, but the great-grandson, he has to work his butt off, you know, to try to get things back to normal. So it's just, you know, what to do. So that's the thing, is that so Advaita Acharya, even though as Vishnu he's reciprocating, but no one's interested in pure devotion. Therefore he calls Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, being a devotee, in the mood of a devotee, he can go out and preach to people that aren't interested. And that's the difference. No? Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't preach to the converted.
Yeah.
He preaches to people who would never expect to come in contact with bhakti.
Yes, yes, like that. So that's the mission, does that. So that's the fun part, is that's because he's in the mood of Radharani.
Well, those who are opposed to bhakti.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the interesting thing, is then, and then people talk about not preaching or this, or just doing bhajan and all that, because they're into, you know, mood of, you know, following the footsteps of the gopis. But it's because of the gopis that that the preaching movement's there. It's all the main players are all gopis. You know, there's that famous painting where there's Radha and Krishna, and the gopis are all there in a rasa dance, and then it shows the other
the cloud.
Yeah, and then it's Lord Chaitanya. Everyone's in the same positions.
Yeah,
and then it's Lord Chaitanya and all the different devotees.
It's on the cover of the Vaishnava songbook.
It's mentioned in the Priti Sandarbha how Karunadas is an expansion of
Karunadas.
Karuna.
Okay.
Rasa of Karuna.
Okay.
Is an expansion of
Karuna Ras. Uh-huh. I think you said Karunadas, and I was thinking, wow, who's that? Karuna Ras. Okay. Is an expansion of
Madhurya.
Madhurya. Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, there's Bhaktivinoda talking about, in just general, talking about the qualities of the devotees, that because the devotees aren't, they, you know, avoid any violence to any living entities, and that means, you know, behaving badly or this or that or, you know, anything. So then in that, he talks about that compassion is a natural quality of the soul, and that natural quality then, when directed at Krishna, then you know, it's inherent in the soul. That directed towards Krishna, then it's manifest as prema. And directed towards all the devotees in the spiritual world is friendship. So it never, you know, is seen as directly as compassion. But when you come into the material world, then it manifests as three. You have that friendship with the devotees of the Lord, you have compassion for the innocent, you have indifference for the inimical. But it's all from that same inherent quality. So that's amongst the devotees. And then amongst the karmis, on the mundane platform, that compassion starts with, you know, the identity with the body, because you're compassionate to your body. You know, you're always very compassionate towards your own position, very broad-minded, very liberal, accommodating, you know, like that. Then it expands to body, I mean family, it expands to, you know, community or nation, like this, and then some, you know, expand it to, you know, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, the actual point is to expand it. It should be understood as all living entities, because they're all parts and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, then that's where that would be. So he's saying that these ones, even they're saying, you know, all humanity, you know, like that, or all human beings, or all like this. He says, or nationalism, patriotism, like this. These are all restricted like that, because of the upadis and all that. So they're not actually that broad-minded. You think, oh no, but all human beings. It's still restricting, because it's actually, the proper is all living entities. So you can't, you know, the humans, but then kill the animals.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, it's all living entities, because they're all parts and parcels of the Lord, the super souls within their heart. And so then that's the consideration. It's just that those who are inimical to the Lord, you just ignore them, because that's the best thing you can do for them, because, you know, why give them an opportunity to, you know, somebody says, you know, it's like if the guy's standing on his soapbox in Hyde Park, you know, like that, and espousing all kinds of nonsense, you go stand there, he just gets encouraged, you know, you just ignore him, and then, you know, he figures out, okay, no one's listening, picks up his box and goes home, you know. Not happy. to make that love, but without getting harassed.
Birds?
That bird has bothered the other birds, and they're all harassing him, so he's making that sound now. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, there's always this thing about devotees who spend a lot of time in, you know, working on their sadhana and their spiritual progress. And, you know, it seems that it becomes a fashion, it becomes a trend that, hey, man, the longer you spend on your sadhana and your bhajan, the more you're going to advance. But in the process, who is out there preaching? And they think that preaching is you in touch with the karmis. You know, nothing really glorious about that.
Yeah. No, because the point is that you're following. It's like the principles is that in the spiritual world, rasa follows its natural course. So in other words, like let's say water running down a hill, how is it going to flow? What's the principle that it does? Right? It finds whichever way it is best for moving. So in the same way as the rasa, that attraction to Krishna, whatever is enhancing that attraction, that's what they're following. That's why they don't have to follow any rules. They're following the attraction. You know, it's just like, are you following technical rules when there's a whole buffet of things to eat and you're going to pick which ones and this and that? Is it like you're following some strict rules and this and that? No, you're just going by what's nice together, what tastes good together, what combinations, which one is good. You know, you eat one, it's good, you continue eating that. You eat it, it's not good, you eat something else. Because the point is that you're following that line of taste. You know, so the point is that attraction to Krishna, it's naturally following that. And so that's why what they do is what's documented as the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. You know, they'll always wear a place where there's always hearing and chanting, where there's some, you know, advanced Vaishnavas, where there's service to Krishna, where that they'll be attracted to there. So therefore we're given, you should do these things. So sadhana is formalized rock bhakti.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all. Just like Dwarka is formalized Braj.
Can I tell you what it is?
I was just going to say, so therefore in the preaching, it follows the same principle. Where is the preaching happening? So you go into here, and if it's happening here, you continue there. But if it's not, you see, use your intelligence, and where it is, you go there.
Yes.
You know. So before it went with the hippies. There's no hippies, so therefore you go somewhere else.
Here is what I see and what I observe. I see some devotees who've been devotees for a long time, who at a certain stage in their devotional life, they just have this ability and capacity to just go into bhajan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I said, where they must have some taste.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, unless it's from, you know, purva samskar, they've already started in previous life.
Mm-hmm.
They come in contact with Krishna consciousness, mm-hmm. do a bit of service, a bit of preaching, but then gradually they gravitate and they like it and they're good at it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they're scholarly and they've got the mm-hmm. taste,
mm-hmm.
and then I try to reflect especially on myself, and my staying here in Mayapur has really put this right in my face, that unless I preach, it's very hard to balance my sadhana. I need the nourishment of preaching, mm-hmm. so I can go deeper into my sadhana,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm trying to understand, how come they can go so deep and they're not preaching?
Because they've done so much preaching before, the volume of preaching and all that.
Right.
Like I remember, let's say, one devotee saying that, you know, back in this, I think it was like in the 70s and all that, there's some big concert, I think, with the Beatles or something like that. He rocks up with a truckload of Krishna books. I mean, like thousands of them. And that they put them on those, you know, those, you know, those little things that, you know, the two wheels that you know, sticks out and like that, and they just walk in the back door, you know, with the books and says, you know, how you say, you know, George told us to bring
what
these.
Love.
Yeah, yeah, you know, show them things, and they're kind of going, we never heard of this, but they went to him. And they ask, you know, like that, you know, they see these guys there, and they ask, you know, are they Hare Krishnas? And yeah, yeah, he says, they let them do whatever they want. So it's just the boldness to do that. Who does that? Walks into a place you haven't been invited. You don't know anyone. You just go in there. One of what you're talking about, they would do stuff like that, you know, and then they would do things and do big, big stuff. And so the purification, the dedication that's there, Krishna's reciprocating. So then they can do it. But you see, when there's an opportunity, then they take it. But what's also important to note is that in preaching is also there's different aspects or layers of the preaching. Is that there's going to be the aspect of going out and frontline preaching, you know, which is always taken as the top aspect. And it's extremely important. But actually Krishna in the Gita and Prabhupada mentions that the actual top is preaching to the devotees. Because all the devotees who have joined, the neophytes, everybody, they can go and talk to straight on the street. Mm. You know, they're from there, they don't mind talking there, they know the lingo, they know this and that, and stuff like that. And just stick to areas that, you know, you can relate to, it's not going to, you know, throw you off, you know. And so then, but preaching to the devotees, that's what then the leadership is supposed to do. So the GBC, the sannyasis, the Sindhu, that's what they're supposed to do. And Krishna mentions it in the Gita. You know, that if you do this because you inspire the devotees, they go out and do that preaching. You know, and Prabhupada show he'd go out and do a program. You see, most of all his discussions are with the devotees. Not that if there's an opportunity for a program, he doesn't do it, but that's not the major thing. But it's taken today is that any of these senior men, if they're not doing out there front, then they're not preaching. But actually, talking to the devotees, cultivating the devotees, that's the main thing. Mm-hmm. So you see those ones that do the bhajan, they can do this. They can preach to the devotees. But it's not necessarily taken that that's preaching.
Well, it's not really preaching, it's katha. So it's kind of nourishment.
Yeah, nourishment, but at the same time, is if you're showing the process and how it works. If it's just telling the stories and all that, but at the same time they're going to tell stories that work for that group. They're not going to tell just any story. If they are, then maybe, you know, it's another thing. But the point is that's nice. They're giving association in that, but they can also cultivate those devotees. Because if they're sitting in one place, then they can do that. If they're doing the bhajan and constantly on the move, you know, only 3 days, and then they walk on to the next place while they're chanting and all that, then, you know, great. But the idea is that doing that kind of thing. Like Prabhupada said, the sannyasi is, you know, if it's a place you have to wear karmi clothes, then that's for others. Sannyasis, it wasn't so important. So he kind of made a point, he didn't want sannyasis wearing karmi clothes. You know, so this push by sannyasis to
you know, that. For example, specifically, you know, I'm making a same point here. I have observed very specific individuals from Prabhupada's movement who were attracted to Narayan Maharaj. Mm. You know, some of them is because I'm sick of his counsel, so I'm going here. But some were attracted because of what he was teaching. And to this day, I know many of them. To this day, they are completely absorbed. You know, they don't go out, you know, public prayer. They're just absorbed. And I'm thinking, they were meant to be in that position, in that situation now in their lives. They're not faking it. Mm-hmm. They're truly attached to the process, mm-hmm. and they truly aspire to Raghavendra Bhakti.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but the point is where does that come from that you can do? Because the point is the room was full. The room was full. And what you're talking about is a handful. There's a difference between handful and full. Because a room like this, there's 30 people stuffed into there.
Pre-COVID.
Hmm? Yeah, pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, definitely pre-COVID. But the point is it's only certain ones, because you see all of them, they were preaching. All the other ones, you know, how much that tastes and this and that.
Yeah, they were all preachers before.
That's the whole point. Yes, but my point is it's because of the preaching they can do that, because you go to that mat, who is doing that bhajan?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The point is, you know, I mean, these mats are new around the world, but, you know, since the 70s, you know, we all live here together, and, you know, they have a Vyas Puja, they invite all the mats, and they invite us, and so therefore there are certain devotees who would go to all those mats for the program, because you know how to dress, you know how to behave, you know how to do all these different things. And so, you know, see that. So where's the specialty? Means one individual has that kind of appreciation and all that, but it will be that individual. He's giving something that. But you have to also understand is that he was talking about how Prabhupada's saying this. You're just not catching the language. So he was pointing out words where Prabhupada said, this means this.
Yes.
But, you see, those people are still here.
Right.
The ones that aren't here, they're the ones saying that Prabhupada's giving basic and Narayana's right, giving hard. They're talking all the, you know, how you say, as Bhakti, quoting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur,
yes.
Sar Ergober. Sar? Sar in Bengali means bull, and gober means dung.
Bulldog.
Bulldog. Quoting from the Acharya. So that's just nonsense. Same with those who went over with the Sridhar Maharaj. They say the same thing. They have no idea what they're talking about. They don't even know what those personalities were talking about. Because they say, if you see Sanskrit words, then that means, oh, they're talking something higher. Prabhupada's using simple English, and it's not. But that was the thing in the beginning. He pointed out, no, this word means this. And you see, if you look at it, then it consistently Prabhupada uses that word in that way. Like when he says, one becomes steady in devotional service. Stable, that's nishta.
That's nishta.
Right? You know. So that's the whole thing, is that he was just pointing out that it's already there. You just have to be aware of it. And so they had that sukriti from all the preaching and association and doing, and that faith in what Prabhupada is doing, therefore then they could take it and use it. And, you know, there, and then you could preach and other people would benefit. But it's not that it's coming from that particular person. They may have, that may be the instrument for that, but it's not about that. It's about that it's already there. Because you see, especially if you see those early 66 lectures, Prabhupada, the hour and a half lectures, he's using all the technical terms we use and points. He's Prabhupada's telling all that.
Yeah, very philosophical.
Yeah, very philosophical, very like that, very relaxed, very like all these things. The introduction to Bhagavad Gita, by page 2, he's already talking about the direct rasas.
Yes.
Like that. And you see all the acharyas, that's what they do. They open the thing, they talk about the rasa, then talk about how you're going to get there. Because it's thinking, feeling, willing, and then acting. So once you understand the process, then now you have to act in this way if you want to get it. So it was just, he was pointing that out. Later on, you know, the natural thing of the neophytes then, you know, like to use one against the other, because he's my guru, so therefore then, you know, he's my guru, not your guru. And so therefore they create these things. And they start all the fighting. Like that. But that was created by the neophytes. And, you know, like that. Yes?
I was thinking, because every time we meet this point, directly or indirectly, comes up. I mean, I have to admit. So, I was contemplating on this. And because in ISKCON, preaching means, you know, a certain thing. Like you mentioned, the frontline preaching, but there's an inspirational preaching, mm-hmm. and there's an educational preaching. It's mm-hmm. not exactly the same.
Yeah, there is a slight difference.
You go and inspire people, and they inspired. You know, some for 2 days, some for 2 months, some for 2 years. Where you, it's not an education as such. It's just an inspiration. You share the energy, mm-hmm. and it's rah-rah. It's mm-hmm. basically, you know, it's festival.
Mm-hmm.
And devotee really like it. It's
mm-hmm.
like,
oh, no.
Because the energy is so high. It's
That's
really,
why there's festivals.
Yeah, it's very intense. But in terms of educational preaching, it is a preaching, but it's a different kind of preaching.
Mm.
So that... Actually, I was very impressed by Indrajyotsna Swami. It was your Vyasa Puja on the 60s mm-hmm. Vyasa Puja. He came here,
mm-hmm.
and he in his own language. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've learned from him. He mentioned that the inspirational program of ISKCON is very much developed, mm-hmm. and he's right there, you know, right, you know, up front,
yeah,
you know, preaching and waving the flag,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
the Sankirtana, Paramvijaya Deshi Krishna Sankirtana.
Yeah.
But then he mentioned that the educational preaching is very—it's very undeveloped. He said it like just mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, he showed appreciation that there's at least, you know, some place or one place mm-hmm. where it is happening. So this is one aspect. Then the other aspect is that at the end of Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that Mahaprabhu gave mission to each of his. Mm-hmm. And including, he gave it through Swarup Damodar Goswami.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Rupa, Sanatana, Raghunath, Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, everybody has a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all part of the mission of Mahaprabhu, but mm-hmm. they have their own mm-hmm. direction. Mm-hmm. So it actually doesn't conflict if you yes. if you look on that level.
Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you always mention, the three aspects of Mahaprabhu, mm-hmm. the Chaitanya, Vishvambhara, and Gauranga.
Gauranga, yeah.
So those three aspects are there, and we have to balance them mm-hmm. in our own life. How we preach to the masses, how mm-hmm. we associate, you know, the nourishment, like you mentioned, and then Gauranga. Gauranga means your own, you know, new Jalabhacha. You know,
yeah.
It's a taste.
Your goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that works nicely. So, point is they're fully absorbed in one place like that. Like Prabhupada, I think, mentioned to Burijan Prabhu. He says, you know, he was doing some, you know, work, some preaching. Says, you do this nicely for 10 years, then you can sit down in Vrindavan and serve there. Hmm. And it worked out like that.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, so the aspect is, like, I think is what he's saying here, is that when we're talking about the preaching, we mean all the different aspects of the mission. Like, you see, some come from, you know, from book distribution and all that, and they became, you know, sannyasis and preachers, and other came from managers and that. But I remember in Bombay, I think it was 74, one of the devotees, he was the head pujari. And the interesting thing was, like, whenever, you know, there's devotees will always be there, you know, Mangal Artik, Darshan Artik, Evening Artik. But, you know, who's there at the, you know, other artiks? But this head bhajari would be out there himself with the drum, playing, singing, really absorbed when there was opportunity. At other times he was singing, very absorbed in kirtan. It probably gave him sannyas, and he became one of the major preachers in the society.
Sure.
Yeah. Like that, you know, just very, very, you know, very pleasant, very nice. And the areas that he worked in, no one else did. But he would do things that I've never seen others do. So the point is to be absorbed in some aspect of, you know, these five main principles of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And so then...
I remember one devotee from the disciple gave a Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan, but not very Karthik. Nobody knew who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He gave such an amazing class.
Mm-hmm.
And the devotee was like, who is this devotee? So that question done, he said, can you tell us
who
you are? And he said, I've been cooking the milk sweets for 35 years.
Oh, in Vrindavan?
No, in either an ashram or one temple in America.
Okay.
He said, I was just given a chance to come to the dam for the first time.
Yeah, first time right out.
He said, that's all I do, I just cook the milk sweets.
Yeah. Yeah, so that thing, that stableness, irregularity, and then it's realization, so there's something to share. Yeah, that's very nice. Well, it's like you had Vibhu Chaitanya, and he was also, you know, forever cooking and milk. Yeah, Bhubaneshwar. Yeah, yeah. He was so far. Always he'd come up very serious and all that. But he's always cracking jokes.
Always.
But so serious that you think, uh-oh, you know, what did I do wrong? You know.
He sees me as everyone. How many Chinese did you bring? We don't want them here. Do you hear me?
Oh, he's so serious and all that. And then afterwards, there's this little smile. It's always so funny, Bhubaneshwar. Yeah, so the point is to be absorbed in Krishna, and that I think it's maybe Surup Damodar. There's that famous verse of, you know, what you're going to do, through who, when, only you know. Mm. Like that. So then that's also the thing. You just keep yourself absorbed in how much you can be absorbed, then it will work out. So the point is there's also the aspect is that these things should be there and give faith in the process, because it means in the beginning you're doing it simply because of the intellectual aspect that is there. And, you know, some tastes, some other things like this. Then you want to become steady and all that. And from that, that steadiness is, you know, everyone's comfortable with that. But then that naturally then will mature into taste. And once taste is there, then you don't have to explain why you're doing this. You know, you already have a taste. Like if I ask you, you know, you're eating something and really eating, do I have to ask you why? And then you're going to give some chemical analysis of why, and that on the tongue and this part of the tongue and, you know, my tongue and this part over here because I always bite this side. So, you know, no, it's taste, so then you're going to eat. You know, even if you would normally eat this much, you might eat so much because, you know, is that, yeah. So that aspect of taste is very important, and it's one of the steps, because from taste and attachment, it's bhava in its natural form, but in a small amount. It's not to the volume of what it is in bhava, but it's its nature in Noah. But then below that, the potency is coming from bhava. So in other words, you have a taste in the Shraddha and this and that, that's why you're going through it. But the volume, that's why they give it those names, because the prominence is that switching from faith in the material nature to faith in Krishna. You know, having that appreciation of the Vaishnava, so you associate, that you take up, I want to follow this process seriously, so Bhajana Kriya, then appreciating that there are anarthas and they're not of any use, so you're willing to let them go and you're trying. And so you're focusing on that more. Right? But then nishtha, then it's the steadiness, the stableness that's there. Because generally you'll see as before, this aspect of where you're saying they can sit and do the bhajan and all that and you're wondering why, is you'll see for a very long time they were very stable in whatever they were doing. Mm-hmm. Very stable. Mm-hmm. You know, so just these are personal, like you said, they may have done so much more previous lifetimes and all that, so just they're, you know, like it says, many, many lifetimes it takes to get to that point of getting faith, but now that we have it, then we should take it in risk one life, we can go back to Godhead. It's not that, oh, well, they did this many lives, so I have to take, no, in one lifetime you can do it, because if you appreciate and associate with them. But, good.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.